So our next speaker, Donella Hutton. That's too loud. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Donella, affectionately known as Donzy to her family and friends, goodness, recently celebrated 52 years of marriage to Pastor Lee. She has served with her husband in pastoral ministry all of those 52 years, with the last 25 spent at New Hope Christian Center. Donzy has been blessed with 4 children, 11 grandchildren, and 3 great-granddaughters. Known for her gifted teaching, she has a passion and a love to equip the body of Christ with biblical truth and practical applications. She has been invited to express both her teaching and musical gifts at many conventions, seminars, and retreats. Her hobbies include reading, cooking delicious food, floral arranging, music, and spoiling her grandchildren. Please welcome Donella as she shares, "Are You a Woman of Worth?"
Thank you. Oh, welcome. Welcome, everyone. I'm glad you're here. I'm thrilled to be here myself. I think this is just a beautiful spot. One of my favorites, just nature and the peace and just kind of getting away and it kind of when you do something year after year in a row, you begin, the nostalgia begins to kind of build up and it becomes a special memory in a special place. So that's kind of how I feel about this place, and especially wonderful because of all of you and just a chance to visit and get a little better acquainted and share our lives together. That's really how the body of Christ is supposed to work, you know. That's God's plan. That those, when we're feeling weak, we have someone to lean on. When we're feeling strong, we can share. That's God's way. He did it that way on purpose. So it's okay, as we have already discussed, to have flaws and be in process and be on the journey in different places. That's how God intended it to be. So we all have something to contribute. All of us tonight. I know that God knows what we need individually. And so I know that ahead of time he has prepared speakers and friends and small groups to meet those needs, because that's the way our God works. And so I've tried to be sensitive to what he's put on my heart, as have the other speakers. And just thank you once again to Kim and Kina for beautiful sharing together. And Ashley's coming up tomorrow morning, and we're looking forward to that. Woman of worth, or women of worth. Are you a woman of worth, and are we women of worth? I guess that's what we could consider tonight. We could have a real lively discussion, I think, if we just kind of open it up and we all begin to express ourselves on what we thought that woman would look like and how she would act. But we're going to save that for our discussion groups. But when we think of a woman of worth, I will tell you that you all have a picture of her in your mind. I can tell you that for a fact. And I'll prove it as we get going. But I know that you have a picture of her in your mind, kind of what you think she would look like, how she would act. And this is determined by years of history, your childhood, your life experiences, some of your maybe mistakes and failures, what you've gleaned along the way, what other people have contributed to your life, our belief system, whether or not it is based upon biblical standards or whether it is based upon our culture, all of that has an enormous bearing upon our conclusion about what we really believe a woman of worth should look like, be like, act like. So if I gave you all a piece of paper tonight and said, I want you to write down your definition of a woman of worth, I think we could all do that. And I'm confident that they would be very different and unique, because that's how we're put together. But my question would be, what kind of a description would you write down, and what would it be based upon? Would it be based upon her social status? Would it be based upon her education, her personal accomplishments, her poise and fashion sense, that supermom quality that she might carry around? her outstanding gifts or talents, or perhaps a wonderful woman of compassion and love that is sensitive to other people? Would that be, how are you measuring the value of this woman? That's the question. And we do that. We don't even think about it, but we all do that measuring thing. And we don't even think about it much, and we do that with ourselves. But I'm going to hopefully shake the tree a little, and hopefully before we're through, we'll think about how we do that. And we think of, as we've already mentioned, the biblical example that comes to mind more often than not is the Proverbs 31 woman. And I will just tell you that I have literally spent hours thinking about and dwelling and meditating on this woman and ended up very depressed. I'll just get it right out there in an honest state of mind. I'm certain I have not always understood God's purpose for the Proverbs 31 woman. Why does he want us to know about this woman? And why is it important that we should look at that passage? My perfectionist tendencies kick in, and pretty soon I am just frustrated because there is no way that I know that I can fulfill all of that that she was. In fact, particularly the verse 18 that goes, "And her lamp does not go out at night." Now, well, that part I can do because I'm kind of a burn the midnight oil kind of person. So, in fact, I do some of my best work late. Some of you may have even received emails from me like at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and I don't even think about it until someone mentioned it to me one time, and for Pete's sake, Donzie, what are you doing? But I didn't even think about it. But I'm going to just tell you this. This is the part. It says that she, when it is still dark, Kim, I'm with you. When it is still dark, she gets up and prepares breakfast for her family and her maids. And to me, that is the worst possible assignment that I could ever have. I am not a morning person. I never have been a morning person. Well, that's because I'm a night person, duh. I mean, you have to have sleep at some point. So that getting up in the morning, now, before you think too poorly of me, when my babies were growing up, I got up at all those evening feedings and the early morning. They wanted their little cereal at 6 a.m. I did all of that happily and joyfully. But if I don't have to, you won't find me up there. But I'm going to tell you what I really like about the Proverbs 31 woman. It's one of my favorite parts, that she has maids. And I'm going, she does all of this? Well, no wonder. She's got a maid. And in fact, I have told my husband, all I need is just one. Just one, just one maid. And he agrees. He agrees because I like to give assignments, and particularly chores. And I know exactly what I want. I know how it should be done. And I could just boss someone around in my house with ease. So, you know, if you ever want to give me a gift, that would be the one you'd give me. But some of us react in shock that there would even be such a woman. Kim had mentioned that some theologians feel that it was actually a Solomon that was, his mom was giving him counsel on how to choose his mate and the future mother of his children. There are some scholars that feel as well that this was not even a real woman, that it's just a poem that is put together that has the attributes and the characteristics that we should all aim for. So it's not necessarily that this was a single woman that accomplished all these things. Lest you have a trauma over that, please don't. One author said it this way: the purpose of the passage isn't to provide an impossible standard, it's to provide inspiration for the possibilities. And I like that. Inspiration for the possibilities. So we see, of course, she's to be admired for her devotion, and we've talked about that. And her, of course, most importantly, her fear of the Lord, which just simply means her respect and her dedication and her commitment to God. That is to be admired. And we can learn a lot from her. But I'm going to just tell you, anytime you try to kind of make a little system of what she was like, you are going to be very incomplete in your analysis of this woman, and you're going to see why when we get through tonight. But just to balance out this passage, I want us to remember that we are New Testament believing women. We live under a whole different system of life than she did. We are New Testament believers living under a new covenant. God has granted us salvation through Jesus Christ. We've been given that freedom from bondage of sin and the need to pay the penalty for our sin because of what Jesus did. We've been great sinners, but Jesus is a great Savior, even more so. So our position as believing women is not conditional. It's not temporary on what we do or what we do not do. In fact, if my light goes out at night, guys, I'm still safe. You got that? I'm going back to Proverbs, her light at night. And if I don't want to get up in the morning when it's still dark, I'm okay. It's not about doing. It's not about not doing. It's about what you believe and who you are that gives you the value. And we need, I'm hoping before this weekend is over that this is so indelibly marked in our brain and in our heart that we will never, ever again measure ourselves by any other standard other than what Christ says. Remember, I said we could all write down our definition of our perfect woman, our woman of worth. And but here's the question that I want to ask you. Are you a woman of worth? And I want to ask you the second question. If I ask you to write down on a piece of paper, yes, I am a woman of worth because, what would you put down? Now that's worth thinking about. What you believe about your own value, what you believe about your worth, and how you have come to that truth is very, very key to who you are today, right now. How you have measured yourself, how you have come to the conclusion that you are indeed a woman of worth is very, very important. It dramatically will impact your life. And so I want to try to help us tonight get there. Get there with the proper measuring stick. Now I'm going to ask the next question. If God could write down on a piece of paper, Donzi, you are a woman of worth because, what would he write? And if he could write down on a piece of paper, Ashley, you're a woman of worth because, what would he write? Carrie, what would he, you're a woman of worth because, oh, that's right, girls. He already did that. He already did that. He already wrote that down. He already has the list. And it's in his word, is it not? Now, I'm going to remind you of some of the things that God said about you. And he's got it on his list. So here we go. I'm going to read it out of his word. I'm going to paraphrase it. But these are truths that, and in fact, I'm going to give you a little slip. Ashley's going to give you one too, and they're different, but they're cute. On this piece of paper, there are scriptures for everything I'm saying to you. So you can prove it in God's word. But now here's what God is saying. Donzi, you're a woman of worth because, you're my child and Christ's friend. She's been justified and united with the Lord in one spirit. Donzi has been bought with a price and belongs to God. She's a member of Christ's body and a saint. Now, God said it, I didn't, of course. She's been adopted as Christ's child and has access to God through the Holy Spirit. She's a woman of worth because she's been redeemed and forgiven and is complete in Christ. She is a woman of worth because she is free, free from condemnation. No, she's forever free from condemnation, and assured that all things in her life will work together for good. She's free from any charge against her and cannot be separated from my love. She's established, she's anointed, and sealed by God and hidden with Christ in God. Donzi can be confident that the good work God has begun in her will be perfected, and that she's a citizen of heaven. She has not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Donzi's a woman of worth because she can find grace and mercy in time of need, and is born of God. The evil one cannot touch her. She's a woman of worth because she is the salt and light of the world. She's a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. She's been chosen and appointed to bear fruit and is a personal witness of Christ's. She is God's temple and a minister of reconciliation for God. She is a woman of worth because she is God's co-worker and is seated with Christ in heavenly places. She is God's workmanship and may approach God with freedom and confidence. Donzi can do all things through Christ who strengthens her. With all my love, God. Amen. There you go. Just a partial list, girls. Just a partial list. I am completely overcome. I am completely overwhelmed when I take that body of truth and I put it alongside of me. It does not fit. It does not fit. Not here. And this is what we want to talk about. And this is where we need the help. Because we've got to get this lined up with God's word. That's what we have to do, right? It's taken me a long process of time to believe those words, to wrap myself around those words, and to say, no matter how I feel, no matter what I'm thinking, no matter what's happened, this is true of me. This is my identity. I will walk in that with a head held high, because I know who I am in Christ, and I have to hang on to that, because in order to become who he wants me to be, I have to have that clear vision in my mind and heart of who I really am. It has to be very clear. Kim said something like this as well, but I'm rephrasing it a little differently in my notes. This is not a fairy tale, girls. These are not just nice words that God put together for us. This is the living, breathing Word of God that carries with it all the power and all the force of the universe behind it. Now, it's easy for us, in fact, it's easy for me, much easier for you, I'm sure, to believe that, oh, somehow he can create the world. Somehow he can put, oh, that's God far away. That's God. He's a great God. Oh, yes, he sits in the heavens and he's put this together. But do you know the same power, the same force, the same energy that put the world together, puts you together, and puts me together? That's how it's done. And it has to be done that way. When we take it into our little hands and we try to form ourselves in some sort of an image, I mean, what a goof up that is. Your God is powerful enough to change you and powerful enough to change me. We're not reading about someone else tonight. We're reading about us. God does not love someone else more than he loves you. He loves you uniquely and perfectly. Okay. So, as amazing and life-changing as those words are, however, some of us still struggle to believe them. And I understand. I've been in the struggle my own self, so I understand it. But we cannot allow how our culture measures the worth of a woman to be the way we measure ourselves. Now think about it. What is their silly little measuring stick? I want you to think about it. And I want to just tell you, because see, I'm old enough, I can say this. Their measuring stick changes all the time. A few years down the road, they'll have something else up there that you will be measured by. It changes. We're surrounded by so many influences, voices, images. Don't you just feel suffocated by it? Absolutely inundated by it. And of course, the internet, thank God for the internet, but not so much. We all have a lot of negativity because of that as well. And take in a lot of junk because of that. That does not help our mind. But I feel the suffocation of it because I believe that it, after a while, it has an eroding effect and causes us to be a believer subconsciously. And I'll bear that out and prove it to you in a few minutes, subconsciously. It's kind of like the fact, I want us to know we're not immune to that influence. We think because we're a Christian that we're kind of immune to the influence and it's not going to affect us very much. Wrong. We can all be deceived. Remember that. We can all be deceived. Every single one in this room. And whatever brings you down, the enemy will try to use that. Whatever he can do, my old saying that I say all the time, you have to picture a conventional kind of a war where they actually got on a field and shot at each other, like the Civil War or even World War I and II, some of them. If the enemy can keep you in the foxhole, that's all he's worried about. Keep you off the front lines, keep you sidetracked, and keep you feeling less than, so you don't become the full woman of God that God has intended for you to become. That's what this suffocation does, this impacting of our society does. It's kind of like the old story, you've heard it, it's so old, but it makes the point. Like the frog that's happily jumping and swimming away in the kettle of water, hot water, that's getting hotter and hotter. He's kicking and jumping and just having a great time, feeling the warm water and enjoying it. But the heat is rising. And he's kicking, well, not quite so fast, but pretty soon now when the water gets hot enough, guess what? That's all there is of him. And he's boiled to death. That's kind of like the influence of our culture. We become so accustomed to it, we don't recognize how it is impacting us until, you know what, we are really impacted by it. Okay. And then for some of us, we kind of have an added problem, and that is, we desperately need God to heal us from bondages and pain from our history, from mistakes we've made, from things people have done to us, just a healing for that. And so that's all wrapped up in that view that we have of ourselves, unfortunately. And so in order to break free from that damage, I'm going to just tell you right now, as much as I have studied and as much as I know from my experience with people and my experience with God, that kind of junk will not leave you automatically. I wish God would take a big eraser down and erase our brains, but it's not the way he does it, and I'll prove it to you with the scripture soon. You have to capture those thoughts. You know that I wouldn't speak without reading you that scripture from Corinthians. You have to capture that thought. You have to take prisoner of it, and you have to cast it down. That's the way God works it. The Holy Spirit does not do that for you. We have to do that. So if you and I want a mindset that is spirit-controlled, there's some things we have to battle through in our mind. Moving forward. So we know that if we want to change our behavior, what do we need to change, girls? Our thoughts, exactly. We know that much. Easier said than done, am I right? Easier said than done, absolutely. We get that. I've said it before. I probably said it last year and maybe the year before. just so you know, if I'm feeling depressed, sad, sort of down, maybe even anxious, all I have to do is think about what I've been thinking about. My thinking takes me to the place of behavior that manifests itself in depression or anxiety or fear. It's my thinking that gets me there. So I'm in a room full of people, room full of women, and so I'm feeling just a little bit insecure, a little bit less than, a little bit, ooh. Guess what put you there, girls? It's our thinking. Our thinking takes us to that place. The mindsets that are resting up there in our subconscious mind take us on that little journey, and pretty soon we're manifesting that behavior. That's why that has to be challenged. And so there's a little backstory to, no, let me back up here, I forgot this part. Our self-talk, what we tell ourselves. You know, we feel bad about what other people tell us, but we tell ourselves things that are probably just as bad as what other people have told us that have hurt us. It's called self-talk. That's kind of the technical word for it. We rehearse in our brain messages to ourselves. And it's very difficult for us to feel like a woman of value and a woman of worth when we are self-talking into our brain all this negativity. There's a little backstory to tonight when I was just kind of praying about what God would have me share, and he began to kind of lead me in this direction, and I just said, this subject is so expansive, it's so huge, there's no way I could do in hours what would need to happen over a period of time, but I fought it, but then I went back to prayer, and he said, no, he goes, guess what? We know this, but our spiritual journey happens in little pieces. So we have to be, what our goal is tonight, I'm going to break it down into a little piece. Our goal tonight is to challenge us to become aware of anything that keeps us from believing that with our whole heart, that we are women of worth. I'm going to read that again. Our goal this evening is to challenge us to become aware. I want us to become aware of what there is that is stopping us from believing with our whole heart. I don't mean about just repeating the words, I am a woman of worth, I am a woman of worth, I am a woman of worth, I am a woman. Do you think I'm a woman of, no, that's not, no, I mean with our whole heart, I'm a woman of worth, okay. So what is it in your life that's holding you back from embracing that truth of who you are in Christ and living in the fullness of that truth? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to take a deep down look and just face it, whatever it is. Just face it, whatever it is. It's not about perfection. We're all in process. God loves us unconditionally. You know what? If we didn't need a Savior, there wouldn't be one. But we need a Savior. We need God. That's why he graciously loved us and rescued us from Satan's grip. So I have confidence that we're going to begin this journey and be impacted by the truth of God's word. I was awakened a few weeks ago with just, you know, sometimes I'll wake up and I'll have a song that will be in my brain immediately. In fact, it's almost like I'm humming it as I wake up. Other times it will be something that the Holy Spirit's dealing with me about, and the words will come fast and furious. I told Ange I need a recorder by my bed because I need to just grab it and start talking about what's in my brain, which she's trying to teach me how to use my iPhone. Mom. Anyway, I woke up, and this is what the word was. The word was, Donzie, you need to challenge every belief you have until it lines up completely with God's word. Amen. You need to challenge every belief you have until it lines up completely with God's word. Well, you know, that's easy enough if we're talking about salvation or we're talking about how to kind of live out our Christianity. But it also means What I think and feel about myself, that also has to line up with God's word. Why? Because it's still God's word. It's not less than because I struggle to believe it. It's still as powerful as John 3:16. For God so loved the world, okay, that of course he gave us Jesus Christ. And so that is a powerful truth, but right alongside of that is what he says about us. So when we think things about ourselves, like, you know, I'm stupid. I just don't get it. I don't have much talent or ability. I'm not as gifted as so and so. And how could God really ever use me? I mean, I'm not spiritual enough to have any kind of a ministry. I don't see myself. I don't see God entrusting that in me. And I don't think. And besides, nothing will change. It's been this way for years, and nothing much is going to change. I'm just going to tell you, every one of those thoughts are not biblical. Every single one of them. They do not line up with God's word at all, anytime, any place. So start chopping, girls, because that is not consistent with what God's word says. So those are the kind of things we have to chop out of our life. We've got to get rid of it. Because they're in conflict with God's word. Okay? Preach it, girl. And guess what? When you give greater value to those destructive and negative thoughts, guess what you're doing? Guess what I'm doing? It's kind of a form of idolatry. I'm setting them higher than God's word. I'm letting them have the main stage, so to speak. Not good. Not good. So we're going to say with confidence that we're women of worth, and we're going to declare that, and we're going to really believe it. And here's the process. And let me walk you through it simply. We receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We enjoy salvation. He's given us. Immediately, we are made right with God. 100%. We're ready for heaven. Should we go or should he come? And then, that's a fact. Whether you feel saved or not, whether you get the goosebumps or not, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you ask for forgiveness of your sins and you receive him and you want to serve him, you are made right with God. The scripture says that. So spiritually, you are in a right position. Your spirit has been changed. You receive the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. But guess what? The mind, the will, and the emotions now are running to catch up with the reality of the truth that you're a believer. So now we have to train our mind and our will and our emotions to match the truth of our salvation. And that is why we have this battle that goes on. And so that's really what's taking place when we have this conflict that happens in our life. So, friends, God clearly states in his word, he desires for us to have, some translations say, abundant life. The New Living Translation in John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. My purpose. So God wants a rich and a satisfying life for you. He wants an abundant life. He doesn't want it to be filled with insecurity, doubts, anxiety, feelings of low self-esteem. That's not his plan. So one of the solutions, and this is where I'm hopeful that we could be a little bit helpful. One of the things that may help us is to understand a little bit about our mind and how it works. And yes, you all have one. That's a joke, girls. That is a joke. We all have a mind, and it is in good condition. Yes, it is. I think that the minute I say we're going to look at the mind, it's about as attractive a study as a root canal for some people. I know, but if you'll bear with me a few minutes, I think you'll leave with a little understanding, and I think you'll be benefited by it. But we have the capacity for remarkable memory, they tell us. Remarkable memory. Whether we realize it or not, our memory serves as a storage bank, kind of a filing cabinet that handles all of the things that we take in and experience every single day. In fact, they say that our mind has handled every single experience you have had in your lifetime. Now, whether or not we can recall that isn't the point. It is there. It is there somewhere in your mind. It keeps track of what we see and experience, what we feel, what we hear, all of those as well as just the facts. So our subconscious mind includes our memory, but it does not just include our memory. It does not just store information. In fact, the major part of your mind's capacity happens in the subconscious mind. The conscious mind, of course, is what is cognitive. We know what we're thinking about when we're thinking about it. But the real activity that goes on in our mind is in the subconscious. And guess what? It is 85 to 90% of your mind is the subconscious. This is why, and I'll tell you, and I can't remember if I put it in my notes, but this is why you are always being cautioned. Be careful what you put into your mind, because it is indelibly in there. Whether you realize it or not, it is going to be there, and it will have an influence on you sooner or later, most likely. So researchers estimate that all that activity takes place in our brain and happens in the subconscious. Most of the time, they say, we're being controlled or at the very least influenced by this aspect of our mind. So, So we have to understand it. The tireless part of our brain, the subconscious, has an amazing capacity to observe and to process. It picks up, as I said, every minute detail. The colors, the sounds, the feelings, the reactions. Now, I've got a statistic for you that will literally blow your mind. Hans Moravec, a researcher and professor at Carnegie Mellon's Robotics Institute, says this, and you're gonna just be amazed. The brain has a processing capacity. Now, we know a little about computers and how they process. Our brain has a processing capacity of 100 trillion instructions per second. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 100 trillion. What's housed in the subconscious, in the memory, shapes every facet of who you are. What's stored there determines much of your personality, forms your habits, good and bad, controls your actions, and basically becomes your belief center. In other words, the sum total of what's stored there works together to determine what you really believe. The useful facts that collect to the whole gamut of living. Remember when we would tie our shoes? We would go one at a time, okay, this crosses over here, the little bunny here, and the little whatever here, and when we were driving, we'd, okay, take the wheel, stick shift, of course, then that was more complicated, let out on the clutch, press. I learned on the stick shift, that's how old I am, but anyway, but pretty quick, isn't it amazing how you just jump behind the wheel of a car, and you don't even think about it, you just take off. Well, see, all that processing is your subconscious mind at work. You just call it up. It's in reserve back here in the memory. Call it up, and there it is, right there, ready for you. Brushing your teeth, all these tasks, writing, swinging a bat, all of those. They're no big deal. Okay. But guess what happens now? Here's the important point right here. What happens with all these feelings, perceptions, all these facts that are collected? We build up information, or what we might call mental images. Remember I told you? You have a mental image of your woman of worth. You do. And you draw that from your subconscious mind, what you have put there, okay? And in this image, there is a subconscious to be pulled up when needed. These beliefs are broad. They're underlying precepts of how key we think things really are. They may be true, but they may not be true. It's our perception. See, that's the dangerous part. Our perception, as we store these images, we develop then belief systems. And let me just tell you what they're called, a paradigm. Don't be confused by the word. It's actually spelled paradigm. Paradigm shift. And when we want to change a mental image or change the way we think, we call it a paradigm shift. A paradigm is simply this, a mindset or a mind belief or a thought, a grid of thought that serves as a filter for what you take in. Now, just to be corny, I was going to get a big filter and put it on my head. But that's what I want you to all see in your mind is a filter on top of your head that takes in everything you experience in that filter. And guess what? You are impacting the results of what you see, hear, feel, touch. Every interaction has to go through your filter. Do you understand if you've got some wrong information there, some little off stuff, how that then impacts you? And that influences then later what you think about yourself. This is why it's so important we understand this. All right, so here we go. Paradigm shift. There's two factors that make these mental images form. One is how often it's repeated. And number two, the impactfulness or the intensity of a particular event. How often and how intense. In other words, how you felt when it happened. So repetitious information, of course, is something that is performed over and over. And we know, you've heard the examples, children that are told that they're loved and cared for and we're so glad you joined our family and you're wonderful. These children grow up feeling good about themselves. Contrastingly, kids that were, oh, you were a mistake, you're good for nothing, you'll never be a success. It impacts them dramatically. Dramatically. Guess what? They form a paradigm about their understanding of themselves. And it begins to impact them over and over again. Some things you only need to experience once. Unfortunately, like a rape or the death of a parent or a child, something dramatic that will highly impact you. Maybe only once. And then there's that repeated stuff. That's how these paradigms are formed. So when the images are in our memory bank, when they're strong enough, and they're negative enough in nature or destructive and painful enough, then a massive structure of negative belief is erected. And this is what we need to know. Paul called it in Corinthians 10:4, and I'm going to read that in a moment, 2 Corinthians. He says that we war in our mind against, and the Greek word here means a castle, a fortress, a stronghold, a place from which to rule or hold on to something. So the Bible definition of a stronghold means a fortress constructed in our mind which can rule us and control us negatively. Paul says, and I'm going to read the scripture in a moment, that is why we have to battle against those thoughts that come. They're not going to disappear, girls, just because we want them to. That's what I want to tell you. Any success I've had in my own mind and my own battle with coming in line with what God says about me, I've had to battle through that kind of conflict. I've had to challenge that thinking. I've had to get out the Bible and say, hey, this is what I believe. I cast you down. I will not think about that. I cast you down now, and I'm going to replace you with this. And I repeat it until I'm telling my mind how my mind is going to think. I'm not going to let it go and be controlled by some subconscious part of me that is the sum total of the negativity I've experienced. As a believer, we do not have to settle for that. We absolutely do not have to live that way. Freedom is ours, and God will help us. He said, this is what I want you to do, girls. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to read it right now. When I can find it. Okay, and I'm going to read it from the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. The world is unprincipled. We already talked about that, didn't we? It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way, right? We don't fight our battles that way. No, we don't measure ourselves that way. We don't have the same measuring stick the world has about our value. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they're for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. Amen. Now that's what God says about our culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought. How many loose thoughts do I have? Way too many. I had someone tell me one time off the subject. We were having a discussion back and forth. And in this particular discussion, my husband and I had a little different opinion about things. It was a nice, friendly discussion. And the other guy that was represented in our discussion, he could tell that my husband, of course, was not going along with what I was saying. And the other guy looks at me and goes, "You know what, Donzie? Your problem is you just have too many thoughts." I'm going to handle that one. Yeah. Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstacle and building lives of obedience into maturity. Now that's where we're going. I've lost track of time completely, so I'm just going to forge on. Are you okay, girls? You okay if I just go a little bit more? Okay. Do you need to stand up or anything? Okay. All right. Pastor Dutch Sheets says it this way. Satan doesn't have to be directly involved in forming a stronghold. No, our mind can do this very well all by itself. Mm-hmm. Satan and his demons are master designers when it comes to strongholds. They're the premier architects, builders, contractors, and realtors all in one. As the father of lies, Satan's method is to use, you guessed it, deception. Mm-hmm. He takes the thoughts and feelings we receive into our subconscious and infuses the information with his interpretation and skillfully forms them into belief systems, paradigms. Okay, later to be, if not corrected, fortresses. One of the things that often makes his tactics so effective is he uses real events and factual information. For example, you really were rejected by your father when he left. Your husband really did cheat on you. Oh, you were actually ugly as a teenager. He then reminds us exactly, again and again, that these occurrences, and he distorts them with his interpretation to the point that we accept his suggestion. Because there's enough actual fact there that we go, oh, well, yeah, maybe that is that. I used to, and this is just a little quick illustration. My sister, unfortunately, she's passed as of a couple years ago, but she struggled with a bipolar condition. And she would go into, unfortunately, these rages. That's the only way I could describe it, these fits of rage. And she would start spewing out just the most vile, horrible things about me. Things, I don't know, she made them up. The enemy whispered into her ear, whatever. They were accusations. They were documentation of our history that was so false, it was just tragic. And I said, "You believe that? That is not true." I would try to challenge her, but see, in her condition, of course, she would be drunk besides, so that was a big problem too. So she would make these accusations over and over again. And finally, a couple times I would go, Well, maybe I really was that way. Okay. Well, I didn't think I was, but maybe I was. You see, after repeated accusations over and over again, even though they're lies, we can tend to want to begin to embrace it and believe it. Finally, I told her, I said, Colette, I love you. I want to talk to you. You're my sister. I love you. But the next time you do that, I'm hanging up. And then I'll call you back at a later time when you're feeling better, and we'll have a conversation. I decided that, you know what? I could not afford to have that coming into my mind. Now, why? Hopefully now you know why you cannot let that junk come and sit there unchallenged. It just cannot. And we need to protect our mind more than that. But anyway, in light of this information, you can see when we give encouragement, when we go over the woulda, coulda, shouldas all the time, girls, when we go over our history and we go over what happened to us that was negative and why did they do that, do you see what you're doing? You are actually repeating over and over the negativity. And what's happening? The fortress is being built, brick by brick, and we're doing it to ourselves. We're building our own fortress that is the place that the enemy can begin to control and have a manipulating effect on us and who we become and who we are. And so, do you understand? We cannot do the woulda, coulda, shoulda. Now, I'm not against counseling and I'm not against getting help. That's very different. I'm talking about just dredging up and going over. And I know my mom went through so much pain with she and my dad's divorce. And for a season, I listened to her. And she would, of course, had a lot of negative things to talk about my dad. But she was so hurt and whatever. But finally, there came a day when I said, Mom, you know what? This is not good for you, and this is not good for me. I love you, and I know God will help you, but I cannot listen to the negativity over and over again. I can't do that because I love my father, number one, in spite of what he did, and I love you, but I have to draw the line, and sometimes we have to say the difficult thing. So anyway, now here's the real bottom line. This is what is so important that you understand. In keeping, and I'm quoting now again, I sort of jumped off, now I'm quoting again, Dutch Sheets. In keeping with how the soul works, that's our mind, will, and emotions, and here it says, he says, what happens to us, the facts and the events, is not what really creates the stronghold. It's what we believe about what happened to us that creates the stronghold. It's what you believe about it. It's how you processed it. You know, add that with a few other conversations that came, a few other bad situations. We dredge up this storyline, and pretty quick, it's not just the negative that happened, but how we think about it that really is what affects us. Obviously, events in and of themselves are either pleasant or unpleasant, but our belief about them determines how they affect us, whether they're ultimately destructive or constructive. Okay. Moving along. I'm skipping some here. I don't know if any of you know the ministry of Christine Kane. Have any of you heard her? She is just girls, you got to look her up on TBN, she's on, maybe some of the other programs, but just I guess she's in her late 40s now, but she looks much younger. Christine Kane, C-A-I-N-E, Christine. I admire her zeal and passion and her life story. When you hear it, what God has done in her life, it will just encourage you so immensely. And she has been healed from a life of abuse and tragedy and has become just a dynamic speaker and author. She's written a number of books, but the latest one is called Unashamed. And in that, she tells her story of shame, how she was abused and how she was neglected. She was dropped off at the hospital, unnamed, just a little girl, and of course, abandoned by her parents. But she tells, this is what she says. She tells of a time when she was a university student, and she says she caught the train every morning at 7:30 from Seven Hills Station in western suburbs of Sydney. She lives in Australia. She's Australian. Well, really Greek, but Australian. And she said that she took the train to Fernwood, Redwood, I turned that about. Red Fern Station in the center of Sydney where her campus was located. And so she would jump on this commute, and for 45 minutes she would go, and she said she loved it because she could catch up on her homework and just have a nice little pause. But she says on one morning when she was running late, she had a lot on her mind because she had an important exam that day. And she got to the top of the stairs and leading to the various platforms, she skipped her one habitual stop that she usually made to check the destination board and the platform assignments that came out. But she heard a train pull up to platform 4, and she jumped on it. And the train pulled out, but she immediately realized she was on the wrong train. And so she said, she was just heartsick, going in the opposite direction. And sure enough, as she heard the announcement that they were headed for the Katoomba, the beautiful Blue Mountains. And so she just panicked. She says, oh, she's going to miss her exam. She doesn't know what train she's going to get back and when. And so when the train finally stopped, she gets out of her seat. She's still kind of in shock and steps out onto the platform. And the station master happened to be standing by, but she just sighed and she moaned and she goes, how did I get here? And he says, of course, well, young lady, you got on the wrong train, didn't you? And she says, isn't that exactly our experience at the end of the day? We go, oh, where did we end up? We ended up angry again, frustrated again, lonely again, anxious again, fearful again, defeated again, because we got on the wrong train of thought. Amen. And it takes us somewhere. Like a train, your thoughts take you somewhere. Right. There's a destination. And so she goes on and says, I've discovered that if I do not manage where I want my thoughts to take me on a daily basis, I will end up jumping on any train of thought, often ending up where I don't want to be. She said, I found that, like the bullet train, I can go quickly from shame-free to shame-filled thinking. I don't just mean every day, she says, I mean every hour of every day. Because I have the wrong train of thought that pulls into my mind on a regular basis. Our tormented mind needs healing if we're to love the Lord God with all our heart, all our soul, and all of our mind. And she says, if you do not make up your mind ahead of time, she said, that I'm going to refuse to board the wrong train of thought, then I will end up at the place in my head where I do not want to go. Unquote. But see, you and I, unlike Christine that day, that was an express train. We can get off a train of thought anytime we want. Just press the old emergency switch, press the emergency switch, and get on a whole different train of thought. It happens that easy if we want it to. We can choose. What does 1 Corinthians say? You choose which thoughts to captivate. You choose which ones you're going to let slip on through, and you choose to take control over them, or you choose to let them go. We choose, because our thoughts take us somewhere. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, Romans 12, 1 and 2, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So she said she would listen to the enemy with all the, you can't, you won't, you never will be, or you always will be. See, those are all choices. Choices. So how do we renew our mind? In closing now, we set our minds at the start of every day what train we're going to ride. Which one you going to ride? Which one you going to go on? Using this train illustration, our enemy, the devil, will do everything in his power to keep you from getting on the right train of thought. Every distraction known to man. We can also be our own enemy by allowing our own thinking to hinder our relationship with God and others. So we have to be committed to know, to learn, and to retrain our thinking. We have to work at believing God's voice over every other voice, over every other influence, over every fear, over every anxiety. Yeah. Excuse me, God's word trumps it all. Amen. Christine says, if this sounds like a lot of work, consider it this way. If you needed kidney dialysis every day to live, would you do it? If you needed a pill every day to keep you alive, would you take it? She says, I urge you to consider it that important to study the word. The word will keep you on track and help you flourish in your life. And why? Because the word is truth. The word is truth. You always know it's true. It's not going to change one day from the next. So, remember, the Bible says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But it's the truth you know. If you don't know the truth, how does it set you free? So you have to know the truth. And Kim's already given this scripture in Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever is true, noble, right, pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now that's God's instructions. So when we become stronger, bringing our mind, our will, and emotions into balance and godly control, we will find that we will be aligned with the Holy Spirit that desires to direct and guide every aspect of our life. We call this spirit-controlled living, controlled by the Spirit of God. We're not going to be out of control with our minds going every which way because we'll be able to hear the Holy Spirit. Instead of all this junk that's running around, we can hear the Holy Spirit direct us, and then we can follow and be in harmony, and God will continue to teach us that even though we cannot change the past, we don't have to continue living in the destructive mindset and behaviors that result from that destruction. We can change our mind, live in expectation and hope of a bright future, and become an effective influence in our family, friends, communities, on the job, and in all the environments, excuse me, where God has placed us. And then we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all of our mind. That's the goal. So we'll be able to clarify then that the work of the cross has provided worth and value for us that can never be measured. And we are indeed women of worth. Right? Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you that your word confirms for us who we really are. We pray that you will help us. Tonight our goal is to recognize those things that are taking away from us that image that we so importantly need to understand. We must see ourselves as women of value and women of worth. Why? Because that's who you say we are. And we have to come in harmony with who you say we are. We don't have to believe any lie that the enemy has whispered in our ears or anything our mind has conjured up. And we certainly don't have to believe that everything that everyone else has said over us. We can reject that as, well, even maybe some of it's true, but it does not decide our destiny, and it does not decide our value, and it does not decide our worth, because that is all based upon who we are in Christ, who you have said we are, who you declare that we are. Your word is true. We don't have to conjure up another story. We don't have to prove anything. We don't have to have a lot of righteous deeds and line them all up and say, here you are, God. Am I worthy now? No. Because our value is measured by a different measuring stick. And we pray tonight that we will understand that in a new and a real way. We pray we will understand as never before the power of your word, the power that is behind your word, as you've declared that over us. You've declared us, in fact, to be righteous. You've declared us to be holy people. Why? In anticipation of who we're becoming. And we have everything in us right now that we need to be who we need to really be, because that's your design. That's the way you put us together. We don't have to grasp at something else. We just have to be. We have to be who you have said we already are. So I pray in Jesus' name, we will understand that as never before. Forgive us, God, forgive us for so many times when we have spoken over your creation, us, negative, condemning words, even words of blasphemy, words of disgust, devaluing ourselves. Forgive us for that. Forgive us for that. Because we realize we are your workmanship. We're that piece of construction, as it were, that something that you've made to bring honor to yourself, that you display for the whole world to see. We're your workmanship. And so, as flawed as we might be, we want to receive that word of affirmation and declaration over us that you have said, and we want to be true to it. We want to let you shine through us. So I pray that we'll be able to sort through, to cast down, to bring destruction to these thoughts, to say that's enough, no more, and to be able to kind of clean up some of that history that keeps popping up in our mind and heart. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you do all the hard part. That was your assurance to me. Donzie, don't worry. Don't worry at all about the message. Don't worry at all about what I'm asking you to do, because I'm going to work in their hearts. You just deliver what the word is. You encourage them to take the look. You encourage them to have a little understanding of how I've made your mind to work. And then they can see how to put the pieces together, and I'll help them do that. And I believe you will, God. I have confidence that you will, and I have complete confidence. You'd never ask it of us if it weren't possible. That verse in Corinthians, if it were not possible to capture our thoughts, to cast them down when they are disobedient to everything your word says, if it were not possible to do that by your grace, you would never have asked it of us. So I pray that we will just understand the truth that's there, and we will take it into our own heart, and we will make it part of what we're going to do, that we're going to act on it. We're going to act on it, and we're going to move forward on it, and we're going to take some steps into the future that we've not taken before, because we want to be able to even think of ourselves as a woman of worth. We want it to be honest. We want it to be authentic. And we want it to be how we really feel. And so you're going to help us get there if we are hesitating. So I thank you for that, God. I praise you for that. Does anyone have any word or any thoughts that they would like to share that God's put on their heart for us right now. Okay, what I would like to do now is I just want us to have just a quiet, kind of a meditative time, and just going to kind of keep playing along here for a little minute or so, a few minutes. And we could just pull up a little chair here. If anyone would like prayer, I'm more than willing to pray for anyone. There'll be some in the back as well, I'm sure. If you would like special prayer, we want to do that. We want to do that. We want to partner with what God wants to do. This is not something we just conjure up and do all by ourselves. We partner with God. We say yes. Now we have a choice here, because now we've got information. I'm not your Holy Spirit, nor am I going to pretend to be so. But now we have a choice. We're going to receive and accept the challenge and say yes. Or we're going to, maybe we'll think about it a while before we say yes. But I would like some kind of a step from us that would be an affirming step that would say, I'm coming in agreement with your word, God. I'm coming in agreement with your word. I'm believing it. And now I want to live it out now. Every day I want to begin to practice some of these things that are going to put me in harmony with what God says over my life. Okay? So let's just take a few moments. Let's not be in a hurry. The few moments right here that we're spending right here could change someone's life forever. I believe that completely, because my God's a big God. God doesn't necessarily take 15 hours to do something. When he touches you, I'm going to just tell you, you'll know you've been touched. Why? Because he's God. He works in supernatural ways beyond our figuring out. So I'm willing to just say, okay, we're going to just take a few minutes. We're going to think about what you've told us. And like I say, I'm willing to pray for anyone, and there are others that would be willing, I'm sure. So let's take this moment. Make this hard. Don't make this hard, and don't feel overwhelmed. Don't make it hard. Don't make it overwhelmed. Don't be overwhelmed. One day at a time, as God brings to your mind whatever it is that you need to take care of, then we take care of it at that time. Just pray over it. Pray over your mind. Say, I recognize that thought is not of God. I cast you down now in the name of Jesus. And I believe the destiny that you have over me, God. I believe I'm your child. I believe I'm blessed. I believe I'm forgiven. I believe I'm righteous. I believe I'm secure. I believe I am loved perfectly. Whatever you need to say that replaces that thought, whatever it was, do that when it comes. Don't go with a heavy burden of, oh Lord, I've got all this mountain of stuff. Let God do the work. Remember, he is a supernatural God. He's above your thinking and above your knowledge. I have a feeling, we were talking, I can't remember who it was too. We were talking about the fact that I believe the moment we step into heaven, the moment we step into heaven, we are going to have the sense. Why didn't I believe more? Why didn't I have courage to do more? Why did I let that stop me? Why did I not do that? How could I have felt so weak and fragile? Look at all of this that was behind me. Look at all of this that was available to me. And when we see Jesus, I can tell you for sure, you will know you have everything there you will ever, ever need for anything. It's just that we've let lies and distortion come into our thinking that's made it hard for us to receive it. I'm just telling you, let God help you and just begin the journey. Just begin the journey. Mine's been a journey. I've not gotten to this place, and I'm still not there, trust me. But I recognize I'm not where I was.
And I've been a Christian my whole life, since I was 6 years old. I'm just going to tell you, the enemy knows how to battle you. And now we know how to fight back, don't we? We know how to fight back. What did Corinthians say? Hey, we don't use those same instruments. We don't use those same tools. We got different ones to fight warped philosophies, warped ideas. So be encouraged. Don't leave here heavy, feeling it's overwhelming. I'm just telling you, you just watch God work. You're going to be able to come and tell me. I believe you're going to come and tell me in even 2 or 3 weeks. I think you're going to come and tell me, Donzie, you can't believe it. You can't believe. Guess what? I've been trying that, and you won't believe how much better I am. You won't believe it. Oh, yeah, I'll believe it. I will believe it, because that's how God works. So take the word into your heart and believe it, okay? Amen. And we're going to go ahead and sing, and I'm going to go ahead and pray. So just go ahead and worship
now. That's his love letter to you. That's his email to you. It's his Snapchat, his Twitter, his Facebook, his Instagram, whatever it is. That's where he'll get you. Open it up and learn. You can't walk in his promise if you don't know what it is. If you're never calling upon him to get his strength. Like Kina said, all she needed was her father's voice. And I understand that. Because my dad, when I went to college, my dad was 1,200, 1,500 miles away. And I went and experienced an earthquake. And I didn't know what to do. And all I needed to hear was my dad's voice. And some of us in this room have lost fathers. But you know what? You have a heavenly father that is eternal. He's eternal, and he knows what you need. And sometimes you forget the number. And that's what these prayer times and these prayer moments are for, when you can go to someone else who can come alongside of you and say, hey, let me pick up the phone with you. Let me dial it in just for this one time. Let me dial it in. So don't miss the opportunity because you think that someone's going to judge you for walking up or walking back. Don't miss the opportunity because you have to, God's saying, I need you to move. I'm right here with you, but I need you to move. Amen?
Well, I confirm that word, Kim, and you're going to see why. God gave me kind of part B of the exact thing, of the parent-child relationship. What does a child do when we've done something wrong or we're going through a lot of trauma, or what a child's first response is to hide from their parents and try to keep it from them, right? Isn't that what we do? So now we're asking you, asking me, to be very vulnerable before God of some hidden things that have brought pain and turmoil to us. And like coming to our Father, we need to open it up and let him in. Not that he is not aware already, but we need to know the comfort that he gets to invade that part, and he gets to be in on the secret, so to speak. Because that's where some of our healing is going to come from, because we're just opening our life up in that way. Coming as that child to the parent and say, oh, my life has been such a mess, and here it is. Can you help me with this? See, that's what he's asking. He's saying, you're my child. I want what's best for you, and I want to help you through this. I want to take your hand and lead you out of this, because there's a better way to live. There's a better way to think, and there's a more victorious way for you to live your life. So that's just a confirmation of what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about why that's so important. Because it's going to require of us some vulnerability there and letting the Holy Spirit speak to us and being honest before God. He's God. He loved us while we were yet sinners, the Bible says. He loved you perfectly in your sin. He knows everything about sin. He knows everything about all the bad things that can happen. Nothing is a surprise to him. Nothing. Let him help us. Let him help us, right? Amen.
We had a Bible study because we do Hope Group in our home. And one of the things that we learned on our study was that we always think in our mind that time is our enemy. Time's the enemy of everything. We only have so much time and we have to get all this done in so much time. But I think, you know, we feel like then we lose all these opportunities because we've run out of time. But I want to encourage you that time is our friend. Our time is our friend. It's okay to wait a little bit longer. Don't feel like you have to see these miraculous things in our lives tomorrow. Take your time. Enjoy the process. Slow down. Life has so much to offer. So many people around us need us, and we need them. And if we take that time that we feel is slipping through our fingers to give it to somebody else, we'll be more than blessed. So remember, time's your friend, not your enemy.
Good. Good, Carrie. Awesome. Asada.
As Dancy was talking, and I just give chance to the Lord, because sometimes he's speaking, he's working, and we just too tight. But yeah, the exact voice I heard, to God be the glory, he says, yes, I've always been there. I've always been there. You are of worth. Through the pain, through the struggle, everything, he's been there. So he says, grow in your faith. Deepen your faith. Root down. So let's give it up. Ladies of Worth, God has always been there. And we can live in that. Amen.
God's plans are always perfect. We're not perfect. People aren't perfect. But his plan is perfect. We see a lot of people that fail, but it doesn't mean that God's plan is not the best way. So, yeah, we dig down. We dig deep. We get into the word. We get into prayer. I'm just going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to figure out a time, and that's going to be different for everyone, or a place. And you cherish it for all you're worth. And you get alone with God and you pour out your heart to God. And you do that, it's going to be a more than a now I lay me down to sleep, or more than a couple promises, or more than a couple scriptures. You're going to pour out your heart to God and you're going to tell him where you are and what you need from him and how you need his guidance and how you're listening and how you're watching and how you're waiting for him to speak to you. You're going to find out that your God is so amazing. He's so amazing. But we've got to invest in the relationship. It's like expecting passionate love from a spouse, and we won't give ourselves to any time to make it happen. It's a relationship we have with God, and it's not one-sided. He already loved us as we are. In the condition that we're in and always have been, our flaws, our failures. But you see, he looks at us with possibilities. He doesn't see us in all of that. He sees
my grandchildren, like I see my grandchildren, I see them just as wonderful, awesome kids. They hardly have any flaws at all. I mean, I'm sure that's really kind of how God looks at us, honestly. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees us differently. But see, the voices that we're listening to tell us a different story. So we've got to get out of that mentality into the right mentality, and then we can believe God's word. That's what this is all about. So God's going to help us. So take the word, root, dig down deep, believe what God has said, and it's there for us.
Because it's that thing that sustains sustains you until that thing you're praying for is seen. You know? And, you know, that's what we have in Christ. And so, and the last thing I'm going to say is, you know, we can't be too heavenly minded. I love to say it because it's so opposite of that saying that says, don't be too heavenly minded and no earthly good. The only way we're earthly good is to be too heavenly minded.
That's right.
And too eternally minded.
That's right.
And that's what's going to cause us to shake out, shake off the thinking.
Amen.
Because God has things for us to do. Right. You know, He has people for us to speak to. He has things for us to create. That only we can do in Him, every one of us. And so we just really don't have time to get caught in cycles.
Yeah.
We just need to get mad at the cycle, so to speak, and go, you know what? I'm tired of you taking up my time.
That's right.
And I'm going to ignore you.
Amen.
And I don't know if you've ever had to be in a public place and sit or work closely or sit next to somebody who was just maybe rude and obnoxious, maybe there's nothing you can do about it. You have to ignore that sound. You know what I mean? You have to ignore it. And so we're going to cast it down, but we're also just not going to give our attention.
That's right.
We're not going to give our attention.
Right.
Because the enemy is still going to bring the thoughts.
Yeah.
We're going to cast it down, yes. And we're going to go,
amen.
I know who you are. You see, you tried that line my whole life. He'll use the same lines.
Yeah.
He'll just put them in different people's mouths.
Right.
And you go, I recognize that spirit.
Yeah,
I know who you are.
That's
so right. I'm going to listen to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's really, in the end, not that difficult to recognize the enemy. Because he does end up knowing our weaknesses. And he'll just keep trying the same things we fall for.
Of course.
And so I think we can be encouraged in learning the tactics.
Yeah.
And the next time we come around going, nope, I'm not going to fall for it this time. Mm-hmm. Because I have renewed thinking.
Yeah.
And the great thing with Christ is His mercies are new every morning. And we don't have to be the same version of ourselves we were yesterday. We can wake up and go, no, I know who I am.
That's right.
Today.
Amen.
His mercies are new.
Amen.
I don't care if I fell into a trap yesterday and I believed something. I'm shaking that off. That's not the real me.
Amen.
It's not the eternal me.
Amen.
So it's good news with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
He makes all things new.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I am going to make a commitment to you, to any of you. All you have to do is text me, call me on the phone, say, Donzi, I'm working through my struggle that we talked about, and can you remember me today? I will pray for you faithfully. I don't need to know any more details. You don't need to tell me anything more than you are comfortable saying. You just call me and just say, Donzi, I'm working on it, and can you remember me today? I will promise you I will pray. That's all you need to do. So I'm for one, going to just volunteer because I know God has helped me to bring a little insight in this subject. I've done a lot of study on it, and I just see the bondage that comes. And God wants to free us from it, so anyway, please remember that, okay? Because I'm here for prayer. That's something I can do. I can't get up and frolic around like I used to, but trust me, I can pray, and God hears my prayers. He does. Prayer works. Not that I'm special, but prayer is special, and God's special. And so this is what He told us to do, and so we're going to do that. Because we need supernatural, spiritual help with these battles. We can't fight them on our own. We need His help. So that's what we're going to do, right? So I'm going to close in prayer right now, okay? Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word over us this evening. We thank You that we have confidence that it's planted deeply, that it will remain in our mind and in our hearts, that it is planted in good soil that was anxious to receive. And I have confidence that we're going to just see some good fruit from what we have shared tonight. I believe it. This whole weekend, Father,
you're speaking to our hearts about something that's very key to us becoming effective as effective godly women to become who you've called us to be. We must get through this understanding in order to move forward. So I know that's the work you're doing in our hearts and lives, and I pray that the work will be completed. I have confidence it will be. I speak peace over everyone here. And Father, I command every spirit that would want to taunt and bring up lies and bring up situations that are painful in Jesus' name, I command you to be silenced now in Jesus' name. We will not tolerate it, and we will release the Holy Spirit to bring peace and joy and love, encouragement and strength in Jesus' name. And so we thank you for that now. Amen. You're dismissed after the announcements.